Thank you, Mr. Miller. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're all rested and ready. All right. Have you ever seen molten iron? Molten rock, but we're going to go with iron. You ever seen that? Most of us have. But, you know, if you've ever used an oxyacetylene torch, right, you know, you go in there and metal of various sizes and thicknesses. And if you're not familiar with it, it has a bit of flame on the torch and you put it to the metal and you heat it up and you get it real hot and you wait till there's a puddle. And that puddle is molten iron. And then if you're cutting something, you want to turn on the oxygen and you want to give it a full blast and you can start seeing that molten iron start spraying everywhere. Now, if you've ever melted iron or done any sort of iron work, you'll notice that it usually typically doesn't go instantly into molten iron. Sometimes you can never get it to go that way, and it never cuts, and you end up using a portaband or some other saw or device to get it to work. But usually the goal is to heat it up hot enough where you can melt it and then cut it. And you'll notice there are several critical steps along the way. In fact, about 2,400 critical steps in temperature before you go from solid iron to molten iron. And one of those steps along that way as you go through heating it, and maybe you're getting ready to cut it or to shape it, is called the forging temperature. Now, this forging temperature, if you look, different resources will tell you, it's about 70% of the ultimate temperature that the iron has, where it becomes molten. So this forging temperature, if you think blacksmith, right, you know, we've all seen those, I want to say Scooby-Doo, but that's not the right thing. Old cartoons where the blacksmith's in there and the bellows and heating up the iron and hitting it with a hammer and trying to shape it. This forging temperature is actually that temperature where you want it to get nice and orange and something you can easily shape it, right? And when as little energy as effort to take this iron, this straight rod, and to maybe bend it into a horseshoe or into a fence or a wagon wheel or something like that. Right? And you want it at this temperature so it doesn't easily break or crack, and you can still retain some of its strength as you start to shape it. You know, back when we started in Spokesman's Club, Wikipedia wasn't the source you wanted to quote, but I'm going to quote him today. Forging temperature is a temperature at which metal becomes substantially more soft, but is lower than the melting temperature such that it can be reshaped by forging. You know, like we said, think Smith. Bringing a metal into its forging temperature allows the metal's shape to be changed by applying a relatively small force, think small hammer, without creating cracks. And that was Wikipedia and accessed in their article on forging, accessed June 15th, 2024. And to build upon that concept, I want to quote another article from AR Iron in their article titled Forging a Tutorial. It says, when iron is heated, it takes on a consistency that is similar to clay. But it takes a little more work or a little more effort to work it. This allows you to shape it as you desire. However, the same principles for shaping clay work with iron, right? You can elongate it, you can thin it, you can flatten it. You ever worked with clay and kind of, you know, patted it down smooth? Think of dough, things like that. By applying force to different areas, you can achieve different shapes and effects. On the day of Pentecost, brethren, God brought the New Testament church to forging temperature. He brought them, he heated them so that they could easily be shaped into a people that he could use. Turn with me to Acts, if you would. And on this day, he brought them into the state where he could work with them and begin. We see it starting with the apostles in Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. He says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing wind and mighty wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were brought up to a temperature which God could start to mold and shape them and use them in the way that he wanted. And we see this power that they had in God shaping and using them in Peter's sermon, if you skip down to verse 38. Actually, I apologize. I read my second scripture. I'm not trying to be mean. Verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We heard today that, you know, in the sermonette, that God was pleading with them. Well, here the people are pleading with God. What do we do? And he says, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for you the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be brought up to forging temperature, be able to be shaped and molded into God's image and useful. Verse 46, skipping down. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We see this in action in those final scriptures there, brethren. Then we read in verses 46 through 47, God was doing a work with them. He had given them the power to change. His Holy Spirit, the ability to take that hard iron lump and to change it into something that would resemble him, right? Not physically. We've already been made in the image of God. Genesis 1 tells us that. Genesis 2 says, I shall create man in my likeness. We are already created in the likeness of God. Now we are being transformed into his likeness spiritually through his Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Ezekiel 32, or 36, brethren. And in Ezekiel 36, we see this. Speaking of a future time for the nation of Israel. But in verse 26, he says in Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out your heart of stone. Take out the heart of stone of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I will give you that ability, Israel. You will follow me. I will bring you up to that temperature, that forging temperature, and allow you to do the things that you need to do. 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to turn around a little bit. I'm going to get you some scripture action here today, brethren. 2 Corinthians 3. Here, writing, speaking of the veil that was on the reading for the people who read the Old Testament, he says, in verse 15, he says, I like to keep you on your toes, myself included. But even to this day, verse 15, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nonetheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, being transformed into that image of God through His Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. Having that spirit, allowing us to reach that forging temperature so that we can be changed into God. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Right, brethren? As it says in verse 18, actually verse 16, to be strengthened with the might. Be strengthened to do what? To know God, to be able to change into what he has us to be. It takes God's Spirit dwelling in us to bring us to that forging temperature, to heat that iron up, to be where it can be something that is easily bent, easily shaped and molded. You ever tried to bend cold iron? It's not fun. It can be done. It takes a really big press or a really big, if you're out on a construction site, it's called a hickey bar. Not what you think. But it's a giant bar that iron workers will use, and they'll put it on like some number 11 or number 12 bar, which is, you know, you think about it, that's that big. And they'll put it on there and they'll put it and they'll lever it. And they'll kind of try to bend it where they want it to go. But it takes a lot of force. You want it. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to have God break out his hickey bar and start moving and shaping us. We want it to be heated up, forging temperature so that we can be shaped and molded into him. So today, brethren, in light of this introduction, what I want to do in the time we have remaining in this sermonette or split sermon is I want to talk to you about three principles about being forging of the right temperature. A forging temperature. I want to talk first about strike while the iron is hot, right? Strike while the iron is hot. Two, the second point is I want to talk about not quenching the metal, right? And thirdly, I want to speak of to stir it up. So first of all, brethren, if you think about that blacksmith, you might be thinking, you know, to some of those Old West displays you've been to in national parks where they have a really sort of dusty room that's hot and this guy sitting there with short sleeves and, you know, trying to hammer out some things. Strike while the iron is hot. And this concept is based on that, right? You're going to strike while the iron is red hot, where it's easy to shape and mold and bend, not when it's cold, right? Because if you don't keep it in the furnace or work it, it's going to begin to become cold. It's going to lose that sort of glow, and it's going to become dull, and you're going to see it start to corrode and the slag start to fill up on the sides, and it's going to become harder to shape and to mold, just as it is for us, brethren. When we are fired up, when we see God working in our lives, we have to make the most of it. Strike when the iron is hot, because just like the metal, when we're at that forging temperature, when we're using those opportunities that God gives us, he is better able to shape and to mold us into his image, to be in his likeness. You know, you can think about the feasts. Ever have like a feast high? You come out, you're pumped up, you're a little bit zealous, you've had some good messages. How about camp, right? You're excited about that, for those of us who are still able to go to camp. You're pumped up, you've got those moments, you're on fire. How about every Sabbath? Right? Make the most of those opportunities that God gives us to strike and to change and to be more like him. Every week he gives us that opportunity. The feasts, all those things. Make the most of it. I'm just going to read it. In Romans 2, and why do we want to do this? Right? Why do we do this? Actually, if you're turning, it's a trick because I reread it. I inverted the words or inverted the numbers. So you'll be in like speaking about why the Jews keep the law, and we're going to actually be reading someplace else. Romans 12, verse 2. And I'll just read it. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? By the changing of your mind, by the, you know, shaping of your mind into how God would have us think, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, strike while the iron is hot. It means for a young person to apply it into like a physical everyday life, it might mean, hey, when you're young, before maybe you're married, before you have kids, that's the time to get your training. That's the time to get your education. That's the time to prepare. Right? Because as Solomon says in the Proverbs, do your outside work first, then build your house. Strike while the iron is hot. Strike while you have that opportunity to change, to do those things, when you're fired up, when you're ready, when you hear those good sermons, or when you hear those messages, or when you're coming home from the feast. Don't let it cool. Keep it going. Keep it going by praying. Keep it going by studying. Listen to the promptings of the Spirit. Listen when it says, maybe I should call that person. Maybe I should send them a card. Maybe I should do this. And you think, that's just a crazy idea from somewhere in the back recesses of my mind. Listen to those promptings. Act on it. Strike when that iron is hot. Strike when that opportunity is there. Send the card. Help when it is needed. Which leads us into our next point. Don't quench the metal. Don't quench that spirit. Listen to that voice, brethren. Because when you have the metal that is hot, when you have those ideas and you're ready to go forward and you have that zeal, if you let it cool, you quench it. Now, back in high school, I went to a trade school, and in high school, we had a manufacturing class. So we got to do some cool things with metal lathes and other activities, and I mean, it was a lot of fun. I really liked it. So we had to build screwdrivers as a part of our freshman project, right? So we would get on a metal lathe, would build the handle, and then would build the screwdriver bit, right? And then would force fit them together, and at the end of it, you had a screwdriver. Now, it wasn't a Phillips. It was a common, a little flathead screwdriver, so don't think we were too technical. But I remember the teacher to this day taking us aside and saying, hey, let's get the, because you had to take basically what was octagonal stock, right? Metal, and you heat it up real hot, and then your job was to sit there and hammer it flat and to shape it and to get the screwdriver head that you wanted. But he said, you know, if you quench it, sure, you can make it strong, but you make it brittle and you make it hard. And so he would show us by taking this, like, red hot, which you would imagine, red hot poker of a screwdriver, get it really hot, and then he'd dunk it in that water. And you think about the old westerns and the horseshoe goes in the pail and all this water and steam comes flying up. That's what you got. And then he would take it and he'd put it in a vice grip and he'd take a hammer and just break right in two. You have all the little brittle metal jagged edges, right? When we quench it, brethren, we become brittle. We become hard-hearted, right? What did God say to Ezekiel and to the Israelites in 36? I will change your hard heart, right? When we quench that spirit, we become like that screwdriver that's been dunked in that water, brittle, easily to break. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we don't want that, right? We don't want that. 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to turn just a pretty common, easy memory scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Because the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, tells us the same thing. Do not quench the Spirit. Don't quench that forging temperature. When you're at it, keep it on fire. Keep going. Keep molding. Keep being yielded to God's Spirit, to yielding, to change, to be more like Him. What does it look like to quench the Spirit? Well, it kind of looks like when we don't listen to the voice and the promptings of the Spirit, when we don't send those cards, make those calls, do the things that we know to do, talk to our Creator, to pray, to study, to fast. And then maybe it means we stay home from church one Sabbath. We stay away from the body, from other people. And then maybe we stay home a second Sabbath because, you know, it's a nice, relaxing time. And remember that song we sang in the first set of hymns, right? Each ember loses fire. It's easy to get away. It's easy to cool down. It takes little to no effort. In fact, doing nothing is probably the best way. And then you become a bitter, brittle, and easy to break. Now, if we're not quenching the Spirit, brethren, we need to keep it on fire so that we can change. We need to stir it up. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells the young pastor Timothy to stir up the gift, the Holy Spirit that was in him. They're on fire. What can I say? 2 Timothy in 1 and verse 6. Typically, we read verse 7, but I want to focus on verse 6. It says, therefore, I remind you, Timothy, who he's speaking to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. Keep it hot, right? Blow on that fire. Make it burn even brighter so that you can be at that forging temperature. It's like at a campfire. You ever seen kids at a campfire? And like they sit down there, well, adults included, myself, you know, get down there and they sit there and they blow on the fire, trying to make the orange and the flame grow so that they can keep it hot, right? Well, that's what we need to do. That's what God is telling us. Hey, get in there. Stir up the gift that I've given you so that you can keep that forging temperature going in your life, so that you can continue to be shaped and molded by God. Right, brethren? What does it look like to keep that temperature up? Well, it means that we're daily praying. We're daily in communication with God. We are fasting on a regular basis, right? We're drawing close to him. We can turn back and we can look at many scriptures and many examples of Jesus Christ, right? What does he do, right? Daily he would go out early in the morning before his apostles even got up and were out and about, and he would pray and communicate to God the Father, which I find kind of fascinating because that had to be like super early in the morning, and I can't imagine they went to bed super early either, right? With all the people who were around and everything that was going on, right? It involves that. It involves our drawing close to God. James 4, brethren, for our final scripture. James 4, verse 8. Right? James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Right? And in verse 7, if you wanted to go back up there, it says, therefore submit, right? So what is part of drawing near to God means? It means we're submitting to him, submitting to his way of life, submitting to his law, submitting to the promptings of his spirit, submitting to what it looks like in our lives. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. And let your mourning be turned, let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Draw near to God means that we're humbling ourselves, that we're talking to him, that we're willing to just admit to him where we need to grow, where we need to be shaped and molded and changed, asking him to do that. Because, to be honest, it's sometimes easy to see, but it's hard to do. Ask him to make sure that we are of a temperature and of a mindset to change and grow. And those are hard prayers to give, to offer up. Because what it means, though, is it means that we have to be willing to be shaped. We have to be willing to be shaped and molded into the spiritual image of God. Because we're already there physically. We've been born human, right? Spiritually, to be changed into that image of God. So, brethren, let us use God's Spirit to become on fire for God's way of life. Let us keep our forging temperature as we leave these days of Pentecost so that he can use us for his work more fully, so that we become more like him. Let us remember to strike while the iron is hot, to make the most of the opportunities we're given, the most of these holy days, the most of our Sabbaths, the most of those opportunities we have together. To listen to the promptings of the Spirit, to not quench the spirit, to become bitter. And to last, let's make sure, brethren, that we are stirring it up.